Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Ha! Just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Hey guys, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Happy Monday! We're back! New episodes, we are back. Holy shit, what a weekend I had in Austin, Texas. Cap City Comedy Club. If you came out, you were, man, you were awesome. Those crowds are fire. Austin is such a great city for comedy and arts, and a lot of ALN fans. One in particular, Chris Nelson. Dude, thanks for coming to the shows, and thanks for being such a fan, dude. You are this week's fan of the week, Chris Nelson from Austin, Texas. So shoot us an email at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com, and we'll send you some merch, which is... Just coming around the corner on the new AboutLastNightPodcast.com in T-minus 2 weeks. Really pumped. We have all the merch locked in and loaded, and can't wait to release it for you guys. Shows in Austin again were a blast. Thanks to everybody that came out. Thanks to Avery Pearson for another amazing musical improv duo at the end of my sets. Matt Misisco, who takes all the photos for the goddamn Comedy Jam, came along and snapped a lot of the action for us, and I'm going to be posting more pictures and videos from the weekend. So thanks again. Today's episode is, man, an episode I've been wanting to have. I'm going to be straight up honest, since I met this dude. I knew he was going to be star the day I met him. I think I was one of his first friends that he made out here. I met him while he was shooting Popstar, the Lonely Island movie, and he just, dude, there's just an aura and charisma to certain people where you're like, yeah, you got it, dude. You're funny, you're nice, and you can read the room on and off stage. You know when to be on, and you're just a naturally funny dude. And that's who this dude is. You know him from, again, Popstar. You know him, you're about to know him from the Netflix show Disjointed, which premieres August 25th on Netflix with Kathy Bates, Tone Bell, a lot of other comedy superstars. You're going to know him from the new Will and Grace. You know him from his Comedy Central Half Hour, which airs, I think, September 15th. You know him from What Hot American Summer. Countless TV shows and movies, and it's just the beginning. He's a superstar. And it's Chris Redd, baby! Chris Redd. With two Ds. From Chicago, man. This episode, man, we packed a lot in an hour. His Chicago improv roots, starting stand-up, the filming of Disjointed on Netflix, his worst high story, his transition from sketch to stand-up, getting to L.A., meeting Mariah Carey for the first time, his pop star audition, which is a fucking unbelievable story, and a lot of hilarious, obviously, tangents and riffs, because Chris is one of those guys that just rolls with the punches. He yes-ands, and if you want to get in the bit boat, he'll get in the boat. He won't leave you drowning. If that makes sense. So enjoy the hell out of this episode and go see Chris live. Oh, this weekend he's going to be at Comedy on State in Madison, Wisconsin. I have yet to do that club. I know the bookers. They won't have me for whatever reason, but I love that club. I've only been in it, but I've heard great things and all my buddies play it, and I fully support it, even though they don't want to give Adam Ray any love. That's all good. But give Chris Redd love this weekend because he's taping his album for Comedy Central this weekend at Comedy on State in Madison, Wisconsin. Check Chris on Instagram at Red. What is he on Instagram? He is Chris Red is 2 D's, and on Twitter he's Red Said It. So follow Chris online for all his upcoming dates and TV and movie appearances, because there's a lot of them. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy, at Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram, and my website adamraycomedy.com for tour dates. This week, I am in Chicago, baby, in Rosemont, Illinois, at the Zanies in Rosemont, Illinois. That is Chicago. I'll be there Wednesday through Saturday. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. First time, so pumped. Chicago, baby, in the summer. What's better? Come see me Wednesday through Saturday, Zanies in Rosemont, Illinois. And then I just picked up a date in West Palm Beach at the Improv there, September 7th through the 9th. So come see me at West Palm Beach, September 7th through the 9th. And then, of course, Lake Tahoe, Tempe Improv, and a bunch more dates being added. All at AdamRayComedy.com. Brad Williams, man, he's getting married soon. That's on his fucking calendar. He is ready, too. He's not nervous. He's ready. He's pumped, which is great. Brad is going to be this week at the Hyatt Regency Guam Ballroom in Guam. Holy shit. Brad's going to be in Guam? Tumon, Guam? All right. Tu Wong Fu, thanks for everything. Guam for asking. Thursday, August 24th through Saturday, August 26th, Brad will be in Tumon, Guam at the Hyatt Regency Guam Ballroom. Go see Brad there. And then September 14th through the 16th, he'll be in Kansas City at the Improv. All your ticket information at bradwilliamscomedy.com. A lot of great episodes coming up, guys. This week, we're recording Troy Gentile from the Goldbergs. We're recording Andrew Keegan, 90s pop star, 10 Things I Hate About You, countless TV shows and movies, and posters on girls' walls. And also Freddie Prinze Jr. Really pumped for that episode. Freddie Prinze Jr. Will also be on the podcast. First time. So a lot of great apps coming up. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes. Rate and comment on the podcast. Helps us climb the charts. And get ready for a new site and merch coming your way. Now we've got the tour dates, merch, and Twitter handles out of the way. Sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with my buddy, the hilarious Chris Redd.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's About Last Night.
All right, start up and turn the AC off.
All right, there you go. Whoop. Oh, man. All hands on deck, man. You got a lot of hats you're wearing. And I can still see the top of your head. This is weird. It's a weird thing.
Dude, yeah, we have to create a mood. We have to create an ambiance here. That's why we got the gummy bears. We got the candles.
What I want to know. He did set candles. It's like mood lighting.
I know, dude.
And natural lighting.
Well,
it's a lot.
You know what? Adam doesn't have a lot of black people in this place, so he likes to, you know, make
how
it
do
nice.
You know that?
Yeah, that's
I
cool.
I don't know that at all, really.
I thought he had a tally book. I don't know.
Would there be... Now, Brad proposes an interesting... That's hilarious. An interesting... What if I... I mean, that's so fucked up. I'm not even going to try to make a joke about that. What if I did have a black guy tally sheet?
Because you would walk in and be like, why is there a black guy? Is that been here? Well, is that number you killed? What is it? Fighter pilot?
I wouldn't assume it right away. It would be a slow revelation. I'd be like, oh, it's a list of all my friends. Wait a minute.
So they all have something in common. What the fuck?
But I do want to know, though, is there
Al
something...
Al Jackson, JB Ball, me? What the fuck?
What is happening?
Is there something about, like, a... when like, this apartment, is there something that is something, like, that screams, like, oh, no, like, you could almost mistake a black dude for living here? Or is this just such a single white dude apartment?
No, you know what? I didn't look too tough. I could tell by the carpet somebody white lived here.
All right, now I have to ask the question: what is it about the carpet that looks like white people live here?
It's just if it was a game show, do white people live here? And I would look at the carpet and I'd be like, probably.
Why is that game show not on? Do white people live here? Like you go and you check it. Like it's like whole grain granola. Fuck, white people live here. White people live here.
Is this hummus in a different kind of hummus? White people live here.
Goldfish next to a picture of a shark tank.
That could go either way. How big is the shark tank? Because if it's like the size of a wall, like an entire thing, if it takes up 90% of the apartment, it could very easily be a black guy.
That is a scene in All About the Benjamins.
I have not seen that movie. I apologize.
You have to.
You have to see the movie. Mike Epps at the height of Mike Epps.
The height of Mike Epps.
Well, dude, isn't that so great?
I want that movie.
That is a classic. Who were the guys that you looked up to comedically when you first got going?
In
Chicago.
In the local scene?
Yeah. Well, in the local scene, but then the guys that are now, you know, comrades.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Oh, man. Well, you know, Rail, he was always like, he was just one of the funniest dudes when I was coming up.
Yeah.
There's a guy called Ballhead who's from Chicago, who's in Atlanta now.
Ballhead or Bald Head?
Bald Head. Bald Head. Because his head is bald.
Well, that took all of 2 seconds to come up with that name.
Yep.
What should I call myself?
He's like, hey, you know what? Nothing's grown up there.
Yeah. I'd be like, well, hey, Brad, what's your comedy name going to be? Little Hands.
Yo, I mean, I swear, that's how you get hood names.
Little Hands.
Shout out to those guys, man. Very, very funny.
They were who you rolled with on the open mic scene, or
not really, who yeah. I rolled with, but like who was popping and gotcha. Who I was like, oh man, that they're hilarious. You know what I mean? Like that, like on the local level, like that was who I looked at. I mean, there's so many others too.
Chicago is such a strong scene.
Yeah, man.
Both like in all forms of comedy, not just stand up, but sketch and improv.
Right. Well,
like,
you did so much improv, right? Second City.
I was at Second City. I did that stuff for about as long as I've been doing stand up. So
I love that you had your foot in both pools, because you definitely can for a while, I think. And then, I mean, and you can speak to this probably better than I can, but it was like I was doing Groundlings in UCB, and then I was and mics maybe like twice a week, and then I was like, I feel like I can't live in both worlds and really go after it hard, because you kind of do have to, just like in stand up the hangout is important, and I'm sure with like sketch and improv, right? And like to really make a,
I didn't hang out anywhere, I didn't have any time to hang, so I would just like go out five times a night for like 6 years straight. I would do hella like improv open mics, which are way sadder. And, but like,
can we get
joyous?
A suggestion? Fuck off!
Yeah. We have why are we here?
We have a show coming after you guys. Get out of here!
Oh my god! Yeah. And then we would go to the stand-up open mic, so we would do that constantly, and then we would just bomb across all platforms. And then, but for me, like I was trying to do music before that, and some other things, and then I moved into comedy. And I saw it all as one thing. So I was like, oh, I want to be able to speak these different languages. It was all one language. I just needed to, like, speak a different, like, version of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I just studied it for a long time. And I was doing stand-up, but I wasn't developing as fast as, like, other comics. I wasn't writing new shit a bunch. You know what I'm saying? I was just like, I built these little jokes, and then I used them, and I got them to crush. But I had to focus on like touring improv and like really understanding.
And if you're writing sketch and stuff like that, then that's taking up your day,
right? Yeah,
like you're not too focused on like, okay, I have these jokes, they work,
right?
So just use those over again.
Exactly. But then I would like work. I would go on stage and like kind of like what I do now, but way more focused. As I would just improvise through bits that I already had and try to like tag them up. So I was still working on it, but it wasn't. It was like sketches up here. Sketch and improv was like up here. People can't see my hands. I'm like messing
with
my hands.
You can see this drawing
right now.
This chart I have going on right here. Yeah.
I have hand measurement skills that y'all would not believe.
You know, people don't give Chris enough credit. He brings graphs and charts wherever he goes to accentuate his points. It's a little over excessive, but
yeah, I'm like works. Ralph's and gas stations. let's look at the chart.
Did you find it challenging to like do the improv sketch world and then go to stand up? And because I think I see you definitely have written out jokes and material, but like you're so quick and loose. And we were talking about this the other day at the Stand Up on the Spot show. You know, it's like that show is so perfect for us, because you and I both like to riff a lot on stage,
exactly.
Both crowd work, but also like going in and out of our bits. And then like, you know, I don't think, I mean, sometimes going up with a nugget of an idea and just talking about it. And so did you find it challenging to have to, you know, in stand up, you're like, all right, I can't just go up there and wing it every time. I need to sit down and start.
Yeah, there was a moment where I was trying to like switch over to just focusing on like, because what the sketch and improv did, it was it created confidence on a stage like I never, ever had.
Yeah.
So I could charm my way through a bit. I remember Brian Babylon, one of the guys I came up with in Chicago,
love Brian.
Told me, and he knows this, if he hears this, he's going to know exactly what conversation I'm talking about. But he pissed me off.
Pull this up a little bit more.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
But he pissed me off a little bit because I got off stage. I killed, right? I get off stage and he's like, hey, man, that was real good. It's going to be real fun when you start writing jokes. And I was like, holy shit, Brian, I just killed. Like, and that was like when you don't kill often. So it's like,
that felt good.
Yeah. And I'm like, what the fuck you mean? He's like, no, you're real charming. You're funny. You can make anything funny, but are you writing jokes? And it was the exact thing I needed to hear.
Sure.
But, you know, I had ego at the time.
Course,
so I was like, fuck you, Brian.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck you to hell.
You're just jealous because I made this shit look easy.
Yeah. I said poop and they laughed. Poop ain't even funny no more. I was so mad.
I brought poop back.
Chris Redd, he brought poop back.
Oh my god, that's my album now.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You do need that outside set of ears that like you do, and you know, and it has to be somebody that you look up to that like is fucks in your world enough to where you're like, all right, like I don't want to hear that, but I heard it, even though, you know what I'm saying? So like, a lot of people don't get that sometimes, and they go through, and then they have to figure it out eventually on their own, or they never do, and they just ego that you're talking about that you don't have checked, or having somebody throw you some a nugget of advice you never hear, and then you're just
doing out here doing dumb shit, and you're never really.
But some people like the easy thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's, I feel like if you're good at improvising on stage and just crowd work, that nothing's wrong with that. But and if that's what you want to do, then just do it.
Yeah.
But if you want to be something more, then you have you have to hear those nuggets and be like, all right. Once I humbled myself, when I got home, when I, you know, then I steamed for like an hour, and I was like, well, maybe I do need to write a bit though.
Now the question is, do you ever go back to him and be like, hey, you were right? Or do you just be like,
no, because it,
too much pride.
Chicago people, we got pride, man. You know what I mean? And I was from the burbs. I even had more pride. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, how do you remain a fan of a baseball team that hasn't won in 109 years unless you have some pride?
It's a super pride.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a little delusion.
But that's what you need to be a comic anyway. Yeah,
oh yes. You can't be sane doing this. No. There's absolutely no way.
No.
Your whole life is to get up and like, you want people to love you, but also don't try too hard. Also, like, love me though. I'm important. Listen to my words, but also fuck you. Yeah. It's like, this is my story, but also, like, you know, I care, but I don't care.
Why are you taking this shit so seriously? Because you just said I have to. Yeah.
This is all fun. Ha ha, I'm broke. Yeah. You know? Like, this is it's an insane thing to even like think that you can do this and people should give a fuck.
How did you even go from rapping to comedy? And I don't know if enough people know, and I'm sure you talk about it on other podcasts and you talk about it in your act, but like, when did that just stop becoming something you were like, all right, like.
It was a day where I lost my like 46, I've had 50 jobs, no bullshit, 50 mm-hmm. jobs, a lot of repeats. It was after my like 47th job.
So you're like the Brett Favre of like grocery stores? Like, man, what'd you do? You like, retired and
I
came back?
I did everything, man. I scraped floors in warehouses at temp agencies. I used to work at this temp agency. That's where I used to like cycle through them because sometimes you'll just be at different jobs for like months at a time. Now, I did a bunch of customer service, worked at a bunch of stores overnight, during the day, fucking on vacation. Every shift you could find. But it was like I had spent thousands of dollars. I mean, I've been rapping since I was like 11. I was like writing these little raps and
like what at 11?
Yeah,
gangster shit.
Yeah. I mean, I was killing shit. The shit out of Barney, bruh. Like I murdered Barney raps? So many times.
Murdered Barney.
I murdered Barney in a rap, dog. Because I had a problem with the cleanup song. I'm like, don't tell me what to do, fam. Don't tell me how to live my life. You know what I'm saying?
I love you. Go fuck yourself, Barney.
Fuck yourself, Barney. Hit it. You know. You know, then I got older and I started learning like how to like,
baby bop is some trick ass hoe.
She was though.
That was an actual. Were you in my book?
Yeah. You know?
But it was like I was up to my. I was just working to be in the studio making these songs that weren't really getting me anywhere. Like I had done some stuff. I had performed at some colleges and everything.
Oh,
but,
dope.
But yeah, and I missed some opportunities and it just got too stressful. And it was like 22 and I was like, man, am I gonna like go through my rest of my 20s just being mad and like. Putting all my money into something that's not kicking back to me in the right way. And so, yeah, it was like the biggest decision I ever made for myself.
Yeah.
But the best one.
Because you almost feel like a little bit that you're quitting on yourself, right?
Right, exactly.
But you know, it's like, no, you're just making an adjustment and a life change. And also to have that recognition of like, all right, like I'm recognizing that I'm putting a lot of work into something. So I'm not going to lose that drive once I put it towards something else. But like, yeah, you do... You know, and I don't know how much more kickback you get from comedy, but maybe it was
like
just
103,000%.
Yeah,
makes way more than rap.
Yeah,
but it all the elements of that hustle helps this one. So like that's why I can like in the way I write.
What was your rapper name?
Man, I had a lot. I had so many bad ones, dude.
Fire away.
Maybe that was the problem. Maybe your rapper name.
Oh, I had so many bad ones.
But nobody like, how do you know it's a good rapper name?
You do
because like some rapper names right now are so absurd.
Yeah.
Like there's some guy who's I don't know, he dated a Kardashian at some point. Catch me outside or take me outside or
catch me outside. How about that? That was a white lady.
Yeah,
I think that said that one. Yeah. But it's a
there's a guy named Party Next Door.
Yeah, what is that about?
Who's
that's his name?
That's his rapper name. Who shows up to the studio and be like, yo, so you're gonna drop this track? And it's like, yeah, this can be. Party Next Door's album.
Yeah.
What?
Who's? But I think it's about like when you're dope, like people just accept it.
Yeah.
You could be butt crack, but if you have a number one Billboard hit, butt crack is now a known MC.
I used to have a bit about that. I was like, the Beatles could have been the Beaners, and people would have been like, well, that's kind of fucked up. But hey, they're great, man. I'm still they're traveling the world. They got so many hits.
Exactly.
And it really like Did you pick the names from something in your life, or was it just like,
it was
this sounds
all describing dope? What I will say. So my very first one was spitting flames because I was spitting hot shit, and this is before that meant something way different,
right?
And so
this is before Game of Thrones. This is before gay slang.
So I'm like, I'm spitting flames. This is the best rap name of all time. And then like it became like a slur, and I was like, no, maybe not. And then I liked Greek mythology a lot, so I was like, Callisto. I read this name, Callisto, before I even looked it up, just said, Callisto sounds dope. Yeah. Turns out it was a goddess, so yeah. I had to change that very quickly. And then one was like John Doe, because you don't know me. No one does. And that's stupid.
Oh, John Doe. Wow.
John Doe. Oh, okay. So now I changed it to Johnny Dollar, like, so I can switch, because I'm clever.
Yeah.
What is that like in the rap community when you show up to a place and like maybe John Doe is on the poster, but you're like, nah, man, now I'm fucking Dr. Freeze. They're like, the fucking popsicle? You're like, yeah. That's Mr. Freeze. Yeah, I'm Doctor.
Dr. Freeze now. I got my PhD in freezing.
And they're like, well, dude, fucking get your cold ass bitch ass up there, man. Like, what are they? Like, how does that, I mean, would that happen?
Yo, it happened one
having
time.
Having to reintroduce yourself?
Happened one time to my friend, because he switched his rap name, and he had walked up to the guy, and the guy's like, hey, man, you going on in 5 minutes. And he's like, yo, your girl got my name wrong. I'm skeptical now. And he was like,
that shit is so funny to me.
And
man,
the owner looked him dead in his eyes and was just like, yeah, I don't give a fuck who you are. You just get on the stage.
I'm skeptical.
You know what I'm saying? Skeptical.
I mean,
now.
Are you second judging your career choices? Yeah, exactly. Is that what you're doing? Yeah. No, I'm skeptical with a K on the end. He had skeptical.
He had an explanation. He's like, it's like mystical, right? But I'm skeptical though. And like, no one's not getting it.
I'm so,
it's just stupid.
Dude, these conversations, and then imagine the guy that goes out on stage, and maybe they introduce him as like, you know, give it up for Mystical, and then he grabs the mic and goes, what up, what up, what up? It's actually Skeptical. Like, you don't want to have that moment. And no, the guy's like, wait, what? Like, you're digging a hole already.
Now we're all skeptical.
Yeah. Thank God, Adam, that you and I are in comedy where we never had to come up with a name.
Dude, yeah.
I DJ.
Well, we all got pretty cool names. Chris, I mean, come on, man. Like,
yeah, Adam, Brad Williams, that sounds famous.
That's good. But
all
like,
of these names sound famous.
Yeah, dude, put them on the celebrity train boat.
Yeah. I fucked up when I was, because when I was in high school, I made a little money on the side by DJing parties. Dumb. And someone told me like, oh, you got to come with a DJ name. And I came up with DJ Fourfoot.
Oh, that's dope. That's a dope name.
Yeah. Was that good?
Yeah, that's really good.
All right. Good. And I figured like, oh, that's just me. Like, yeah, no one else is going to be like 6'2", being like, yeah, I'm DJ 4 foot.
But that's exactly.
Someone has a really weird anatomy thing going on.
That's how it all should be. But I grew up trying too hard. I wanted to be a part of something, so I was always trying too hard. But the last name I had was Chief. You know what I mean? It had double meaning because I was like one of the leaders of my crew, and then also I smoked a lot. And so like,
dope.
That was it. It was like, it was
that's simpler too.
Is Chief a weed slang? I'm so white.
Chief is a weed.
I don't know.
Yeah, yes, Chief is a weed slang. It's also the head of an Indian tribe.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, that's a cool name. Chief. Yeah. And that's
enough significance to where it's not like you have to overly explain it to somebody.
Exactly.
And they can almost figure it out. And it just, I don't know. It's strong.
Yeah. It's
what it is.
It's what 70-year-old guys call young white dudes. Like, hey, good job, there, Chief.
Yeah. Hey, you know? Chief. Hey there, Chief. which would happen to me in the hood. But older gangsters, they would always sun me. I had a nickname. And I don't even talk about this. I think I talked about this one time. I had a nickname. I hate it. Because, you know, when you hanging around black people, especially hood black people, they'll give you a name that sticks no matter what.
No shit.
And I used to try to be down all the time. So I would smoke. And my head's always been pretty big. And so when I would smoke, I'd be so high that my head would just bobble. And bobble became my nickname. And
I'll be honest, it's kind of a dope name.
Hated it.
Yeah.
Well, then, because then Bobblehead came out, the song Bobblehead about chicks sucking dick, and I was like, no,
yeah,
no.
It's like, oh, who's that?
Dick sucking head.
That's Bobble. Suck dick ever. And they're like, hey, Bobble, that's not doing that. It became the worst nickname of all time.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
But it was also a barometer of, like, when they started respecting my career as a comic. Because when I would come home, they would come to shows, they would stop calling me Bobble as much. They would be like, yo, what up, Red? I'm like, oh, I'm not Bobble. They're like, he just did a Bobble-ass thing. Look at that.
Now you're Bobble
now
again.
Now you're Bobble again.
Damn it.
So, dude, it's so, like, hilariously awesome the way that we decipher, like, in our eyes, like, the people that look at us and be like, oh, now... They're looking at me with a different set of goggles on, like, all right, success is starting to become a part of your life, you know? Right.
Yeah, yeah, because it's like, who are those? Like, are those guys actually important? Probably not. But you're just like, no, but that's who I need to prove myself.
I mean, yeah, they were all family, all, you know, all
dude,
boys,
that hometown love. You want
it's,
that,
it's,
dude?
Yeah. Like you want that, man. Especially in you know, saying in this culture now, it's like you want your people to be behind you. Yeah. You know what I mean?
What was that like when you? I mean, so Popstar. I mean, take us down that road for a minute. Just that whole experience, because that's when
Popstar was crazy.
That's when you came out here.
Yeah,
right.
And that's why I met you.
Yeah.
On mm-hmm. set, eating yeah. lunch with Adam Ray, Tim Meadows, Kevin Neal. This is me, like, fresh out of Chicago, never have done anything like this before. You know what I mean? And, like, I'm eating lunch with all these people that I've, like, looked up to forever. And everybody's super cool and chill. And Adam's like, yo, come by the Laugh Factory.
Why do you do an Adam Ray impression that sounds like Rodney Dangerfield? Hey, I tell
you. Hey, I tell you, come by the Laugh Factory.
That's a pretty spot on me, though.
And I was like, fuck yeah, I'll come out and laugh at you. Yeah. That's crazy. It was dope, man. Like, I my whole thing was like, I knew I was the least famous person on that cast. So I was like, I'm going to try to be as funny as I possibly can. That's the only thing I have. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, you had so many stars walking in every day.
In the cameos.
Yeah.
Not just the regular beat, like the cameos.
Dude, I think the day
insane.
That I shot insane. This short little scene, you told me that I think it was the day Mariah Carey had come through or something?
Yeah, dog. And that was amazing. Like, she smelled like heaven and dreams. And, like, she's
and that's
like,
just her fragrance, yeah, Mariah.
I plug that. Yeah. You're welcome, Mariah. No.
Sure.
But she was floating, man. And everybody was just like, you know, of course they were nervous. You know what I mean? They're like making sure she was happy and all that. But, like, I walked up to her. I'm like, listen, man, I've been in love with you forever. Like, but you're a New York girl. Let me hear about that. And we just start talking about, like, New York. She started, you know what I mean? It's like, hey, well, you know, I've been. Woo-woo.
Yeah, she's East Coast
she
through
was
and through,
super
right?
cool, yeah. man. Yeah, she was super cool. Everybody was like, didn't know what was going to happen. You know what I mean? But she ended up being real cool, real down for shit. She was riffing.
I really got to applaud your just confidence, too, to walk into a situation like that where it's like, this is your first job, right, that you booked?
Yeah.
In Hollywood?
Ever.
A pretty substantial role, right? Yeah, in a fucking, like, iconic comedy group's...
first major motion picture.
You know, like, and a part that's that dope and integral to the story and, like, you know, arguably is, like, some of the best, like, moments in the movie, you know? And
I was blessed, man.
And then, so, you know, it could easily be something to get that and then be like, all right, I just want to kind of stay out of the way, do my thing when the cameras are rolling and then just, like, stay out of the way. Be like, no, man, like, I'm going to fucking, like, let everybody know that, like, I got this part for a reason and also, like... You didn't cast me just because I'm going to deliver there. I'm going to just fucking, like, bring something to the set. And it seemed like when I was there, man, everybody was just like, Chris, the best. And the few people I knew that were working on the movie, like, oh, dude, this guy's fucking crushing it. And I was like, that's dope, dude.
I would just stay on all day. I was just doing bits with anybody that would listen. I knew everybody on that set. I still see people from that set, like, all the time. You know what I mean? Where I was just like, yeah, I had jokes with the crew. I had jokes with catering. I had jokes with everybody. You know what I mean? PAs. You know, and, I mean, the guys I would watch and study them. And just like,
I read somewhere that you were based on your the character was based on Tyler the Creator.
Yeah,
I don't know who that is, but okay.
Tyler the Creator is a dope ass rapper. Yeah. Okay. And he just dropped an album. You should definitely listen to it.
All right,
listen to the one with Lil Wayne. That's my favorite. I think Who That Boy, I think it's called. But yeah, like based off of Tyler and a little bit of DMX. But I was trying like that was like the whole. At first, when I was like my first few days, Kiba was like, "All right, man, that we got a total line between this DMX and this whatever else we're doing with it." So it was a little bit of that and a little bit of just like crazy decisions I was making in the moment, and ended up being that, and it was really fun.
What was the audition process like? And had you auditioned for anything prior, or was that all formed?
I mean, I had done like Empire and stuff, but like real small stuff.
Yeah,
but like no, like I had auditioned for some movies, but nothing had really come up, and. And then I went out for that, and they were like, all right, we have some sides, and we have this. They had, like, four bars of a rap. And they were like, you can freestyle a little bit. So, you know.
Come on.
This was the time. I was flying out to Las Vegas, came back a day early for this shit. I bought a Wi-Fi speaker, and I was like, I'm about to blow their fucking minds. Like, I was so pumped up for this. I think I did push-ups outside.
Right
of
up your alley, dude.
Yeah.
Sometimes opportunities come along where you're like, oh, this is tailor-made for me.
Man, yeah. It really felt like that.
Yeah.
And then she was like, you can freestyle for as long as you want. I'm like, you said the wrong shit. Yo, I pulled the thing
DJ,
out of my back.
DJ, my music.
And by DJ, I mean me.
I wish I had a dude that just like had no expression, just... Hold the stereo the whole time.
And then pick you up and carry you out of the
other room. Yeah. Like, and drops my mic for me. But then catches it because you can't afford all those mics.
Comes back in.
yeah. But I freestyle for like 15 to 20 minutes.
No shit.
Yeah. Between with the words, with the scene and the rap. The scene was all up into the song. You didn't know how the raps went. You just saw it. You know what I'm saying? Right. It was like the stomping through the forest, like a retarded Tyrannosaurus. And when you read that on paper, ridiculous. It looks ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, it is ridiculous.
Isn't that most rap though?
Yeah. Well, sometimes.
Kendrick's
is like really, more.
Yeah. Kendrick, like, Emin, yeah. There's some that are. Yeah.
But like, if you really like, what's the Greg Giraldo bit that he goes like, I'm gonna put it to. Dick to the throat. You're not gonna need no.
Oh yeah, it was
not gonna pay no more child support.
Yeah. He's like. No, I'm not saying that's a bad approach to life. He goes, I just want my kid growing up thinking that support and throat rhyme.
Yeah. Hey man, some people like the slant rhyme. They think it's genius. Dude,
that's
people hate it.
Wait, okay, so you do the retarded Tyrannosaurus? What is it?
Yeah, stomp into the forest like a retarded Tyrannosaurus. And then they had two other lines in there, and then they were like freestyle. And so I just had a beat. I had practiced on it a couple times and went in there, and I just freestyled until I was done. And they were like, holy shit. So then they called me. I got a call back. I'm excited. I rushed there. They're like, the guys want to talk to you. I'm like, the guys? And so I'm on the phone with them, and you know, they're cool as shit. They're giving me some notes on the scene, and they're like, yo, we love the rap. You can really fucking rap, but like, could you not do it that long? And I was like, yeah, it makes sense.
Well, I figure for a 90-minute movie, you're not going to have 15 of it just be me rapping.
Yeah, just freestyling about any and everything. Rhyming.
But you
got
to give more, right? You got to let them pull you back, because then they're like, okay, cool. Now it's not even an issue. Now it's just about... Cutting the fat.
Yeah, it really was about just like, can we see if he can play the funny of it? You know what I mean? And then at first they were looking for like a rapper because they wanted like a real rapper with a name.
Yeah.
And then they ended up, I was getting a call, I was working on this sketch show at Second City at the time, and I was having like a real shitty day. And then I got the call, they're like, oh, yeah, they want you for this part. And I was like, oh, shit. Intermission to this other show. And I was like, yeah, bitches, I'm not coming back. Shout out to Second City though. They paid a lot of my bills.
Of course.
Wait, so how many? So you talked to the guys on the phone, and then you did it one more time, and then that was it.
I did it one more time, and then and then I just waited. And they basically were like, "Yeah, we want you in the movie, but we don't know about this particular role. But we want you involved." And so I knew I was going to be involved in some way.
Oh, you didn't think of that magnitude, though, huh?
Yeah, nah. I was bummed out because I was like, "God, that's the role I wanted."
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But I would have been happy with whatever, you know. But
sure. But then that role really kind of showed you in a lot of talents. It showed the rap side. It showed comedy. It showed a little bit of everything.
Yeah. People ask for albums on Twitter randomly, and it's weird.
I mean, yeah. That's at some point you got to. Make one, I think. And put one out.
Well, I'm definitely gonna make one. I guess this is gonna be heard by people. Yeah. I'm gonna make one.
Yeah.
I'm working on it now. I'm working on a stand up album. I record that.
That's right. I just saw that
Comedy Central weekend. This weekend, August 26th.
This will be out tomorrow. So.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Dope. Yes, this weekend.
At Comedy on State, right?
At Comedy on State, man.
Fuck awesome. Yeah, dude.
Yes, if y'all got listeners in Madison, Wisconsin, come out, kick it with me.
And that's one of the best. No joke.
I love that shit, man.
We do. You know we got. You know we represent Madison.
Yeah. I just wanted both of y'all to stand up at the same time. Yeah. Motherfucker, who do you think?
Welcome back to Stupid Fucking Questions with Chris Redd.
Madison, hey, Wisconsin.
Where's the
on
sun?
On point. Dayton, Ohio. On point. Like, we got this.
How quick do you think you would have moved to LA had you not gotten the movie? Like, was that even in the cards?
I wouldn't have until I had. It wasn't until I was getting regular spots at the Laugh Factory where I was like, okay, I could really move. Because after that movie and after JFL, because JFL came after that, I still went back home.
Yeah, you weren't living. I remember talking to you at lunch, you were just like, I'm going back and forth. Like,
yeah,
you didn't have a place to stay. And I was like, holy shit. And I was so excited for you too, because I was just like, oh man, like, despite whatever this, you know, I truly believe too, it's never like one thing, you know, it's never like that one thing that, like,
right.
I mean, maybe Indiana Jones for Harrison Ford was a fucking like game changer, but like, I don't know, man. Like,
yeah, American Graffiti before that.
No, like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so it's like,
yeah. It all,
but even like Rail and Get Out or Tiffany Haddish and Girls Trip, they've done so many other things to accumulate to that moment. It's just like those moments.
Totally. And like, I mean, Disjointed, who knows what's going to be the thing that everyone goes like, holy shit.
You know? Yeah.
But I mean, Popstar was like, the perfect thing for you to come out as, like, to be like, yo, here's a great representation of me and what I can do, right?
Thank you. Yeah,
don't you think?
I do. I think, oh, I'm always going to be proud of that movie, man. And it's like, when it came out on HBO, people, like, really watched it. I've actually talked about it more with fans and signed more things now that it's on HBO than I did even when it came out.
Yeah. It's just the culture we live in, too, man. Like, you know, people are still going to the movies, but, like, there's just so many other ways. Also, with comedies, unfortunately, like, people love to watch them, like, on planes or at home and on the computer
really
in bed.
Like a theater thing.
Right.
Yeah, which sucks. But, I mean, yeah, like I remember the first Anchorman bombed at the box office.
Which is a crazy thought now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then, like, just through DVDs and passing it around, everyone's like, no, this is a great fucking movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it comedy, you got to kind of, like, give it legs a little bit.
Yeah, especially when it's unique comedy. Like, it's a niche audience.
Yep.
Sure.
There's a lot of people just... It really showed how much people don't like Justin Bieber movies.
Yeah.
Because everybody thought it was that. And you know what I mean? Until you actually watch it, you're like, oh, it's more than that. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, like, it was... People just got so turned off by it for whatever reason.
What was the most challenging part of that whole experience? Like, just as far as... Or that was daunting, that maybe the first thing that... Because you seem like and as long as I've known you, like, just super... like, easy to be around and comfortable in any situation, but, like, obviously, like, first job, movie, you're still going back and forth. Like, there had to have been days when you're just like, fuck, man, where you actually, like, step out of yourself and look at what it is, right? And you're like, all right, like, I gotta make sure I fucking like, you're just, like, you know, giving yourself a pep talk in the trailer. Like, were there days or a moment that you were like, don't, like, I can't, like, I'm trying to find the funny on this? And then on the other side, was there a day where you're just like, oh, man, this is, like, fuck it, like, I'm supposed to be in this fucking town,
right? Yeah. I never struggled with, like, I only worked so hard for that. This all I did was, like, work out, look at lines, get lines down, go there and do it. Come up with alts, like, so I had, like, so many different alts that I was like, I'm gonna riff this, I'm gonna riff that, I'm gonna riff this, I'm gonna riff that. Like, I never had that issue. It was hard to at times meet certain people.
Yeah.
Angelina Jolie came on set randomly.
I heard that rumor.
Yeah, and it was fucking incredible. Like, I'm getting nervous now talking about the shit, and she's not even here. Like, dude. I didn't realize how much I loved her until I saw her, and she came up to me. And, dude, at this time, this is like middle of the shoot, so I know everybody. I'm always clowning. Everybody knows I clown.
Yeah.
She came in, I clammed up, didn't say shit. I was like, I love this girl. And she walks up to me, because I'm staring at this woman from the back of the room. I can't even.
How could you not?
You know what I mean? And she's, like, magnetism, looking back, because at this point, everyone's told her, like, you know, I have a thing. And she's like, she comes up, she's like, hey, you know where I can get some water? And I forgot what water was. And I was.
Forgot what water.
And I was like, is that wet shit? And then, like, one, and then Adrian, like, who worked with the Lonely Island, she's like, I'll show you where it is. I'm like, thank you so much for saving me.
And I forgot that's how big of a star, and that's how beautiful that woman is, that you, made you forget what water is.
I just didn't even know.
Is this foreign substance you speak?
Yeah, I was holding a water, had just went to get a water. Well, you knew where it was.
But you know what, man? You were probably so transfixed by her beauty, you were like, you deserve better than water.
Don't
drink that peasant shit.
If she had came in like the way I thought Angelina Jolie would have walked in a room, that would have been, like, you know what I mean? Like two shirtless men just carrying under her arms.
Wind
and
machines.
Like,
just
yeah,
going.
Yeah. Just like a,
that would,
like,
make sense.
Yeah, like a huge fan. I'm like, oh, Angelina Jolie's here, the goddess. But she came in like a normal, cool-ass mom, talking to everybody, very chill. Oh, and that's what throws me off, is like when
and
you
that's
see
so
people
hot,
bigger than
right?
life.
Where you're just like, oh, you're so chill. Yeah. You're just normal, I guess, but you look like that.
But you're also you.
Yeah.
And then, like, every movie I've ever loved is, like, going
did you go back and
head.
Like, rewatch it just to?
Oh yeah, yeah. I was oh man, I watched Angelina Jolie for like a month after that, and I was like, I can't wait to meet her again so I can, like, make fun of myself for that moment that she is not gonna remember.
Now, did she watch takes and stuff? Was she one of the people that was?
Yeah,
like,
but I wasn't on screen then.
Oh, okay,
and so I was like, I hope she stays for my scene.
Hey, Judd, can you fucking just throw me one line in this scene real quick? Like,
like, just.
Y'all need me to just walk around? Y'all need me to just walk around?
I want Angelina Jolie to see how I walk.
I got this real good walking bit. Walking and walk around.
And by the way, how many times have each of us had that happen at either the Laugh Factory or the Improv or something, where they tell us some celebrities in the audience and we're like, oh, wait, I'm on the second show. Can you throw me on? Can I, man?
When the weekend and
were you there?
Yes, I went up. They watched
me too.
They watched my. Oh yeah,
dude, I did a joke to him.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh,
joke,
oh too. Yeah. Oh the yeah. I was like, I just I was like, man, I just had sex with the weekend today. And I was like, hey, I picked the wrong song, though, you know, because it was, I feel it coming. I was like, yeah, I do, too. Stop saying it. I was like, I feel it coming. I was like, say something else. I need more encouraging words, like, you can last forever, you know, whatever. And I saw him, like, lean forward, kind of. And then, you know, I'm such a big fan, dude, that I was just like, I was like, I'm going to fucking try to do that thing where you rush outside and you pretend you're on your phone. And maybe he'll see me and be like, yo, what up? You know, because, dude, they respect us the way we respect them. Exactly. It's a completely different. That's why they come to the shows, right?
Right.
I was like, I'm not trying to get a you know, fan out with Selena Gomez. And so then he, all Selena Gomez and all his people were out there. And I did this thing where I just kind of walked by them and nobody said anything. So then I just turned around and walked back in the club. And then and I even did this, like, I walked by them and nobody said anything. And then I went. And then I started feeling around in my pants, and I'm like, oh, shit. And I walk back in the club.
That's
act like I forgot it.
Hilarious.
And then I see him, and then I hear him walk out of the back, and then I turned around, and I was like, all right, well, now you just got to go in. Like, don't chase him down like a paparazzi.
Yeah.
But that shit is, like, the coolest, right? It's, like, who,
was,
I mean.
It was so cool. Like, I tried to, like, I'm very much, like, anti-famous person, even though I like them a lot. Mm-hmm. I try not to, like, walk up. Unless I won't take a picture unless, like, this moment's been natural. But there was one moment where I was, like, delivering because I was doing, like, my relationship shit, and I looked dead at them when Punchline killed. And then as it got quiet, Selena was like, he's funny, I like him. And in my head, shit, I was like, ha ha, I can leave forever now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what
I
mean?
But I kept doing the material. I never even commented on it. I was like, sure. I was like, oh, good, thanks.
Have you been there when Bieber's been there?
No, I haven't. Yeah, I heard it's pandemonium.
I did that one time.
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, and then Selena was there as well. Because, I mean, apparently the through line is Selena Gomez.
Yeah,
she loves
man.
Comics.
She brings all her new.
That's how you know you're an icon.
Yeah.
When y'all see me with Selena Gomez, I'm kidding, weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bieber was in the audience, and I was on the show. No one was making jokes. Like, no one wanted to make jokes about him.
Yeah.
So then I walked on stage, and I went, hey, everyone, Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez are here. Hollywood's hottest lesbian couple.
No.
And he laughed. Wow. And he after the set, he, like, summoned me up. Like, he sent one of his guys down.
Bring him to the Biebs.
Bring the dwarf to Bieber. At that point, I should have been just wearing, like, an old school medieval jester outfit. Just walk up and start, like, with bells on my toes. Start, like, running up, like, oh, Mr. Bieber. I don't know why I'm doing that voice.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then he like, say, like, hey, man, you're really funny. And he said, hey, let's watch the next guy. Sit on my lap. He said, sit on my lap.
He said
and,
this?
And I'm he's a 19-year-old kid at this point. I'm a 30-year-old man.
Yeah,
and,
you're like, not
and,
again.
And all I did was, of course I'll sit on your lap. Why the fuck not? Yeah. Like, you don't tell Bieber, no, I have too much pride.
Yeah. Like, no, fuck your lap, sir.
I mean, no, don't fuck your lap.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and then he took pictures with all the comics afterward. It was great.
Oh, see, that's dope, man. I like when people look cool about it.
So you got jammed up with Jolie, but
yeah, besides that,
which,
man,
by the way, that should be a show where people just have to meet Angelina Jolie
spontaneously
and then be like, will you be jammed up by Jolie?
Yeah, will you be jammed by
Jolie?
Will
you forget what beverages are?
Yeah. Hi, do you know where the bathroom is? Who? What?
I don't know. I just shit my pants. I've never been to one.
Yeah. I just shit in holes.
Is that what you call a toilet? I guess I'll ask somebody else.
Yeah.
Wait. So what was the moment on set where like maybe a scene where you got to riff a bunch, or like where Judd came up to you and was hey man, like, super fucking, you know, like the first one of those.
Yeah. There a conversation between me and Judd. I'm sure Judd is so tired of hearing about this story. If he even listens. But
of course he listens to this podcast.
Yeah.
What up, Judd?
What's up, Judd?
He's out there sitting in Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
We got that Madison. Apatow range, we're good.
Man, Apatow range is like perfect range. That's all the range.
Yeah,
range.
Dude.
Yeah, no kidding.
There was a moment where I was having a conversation with Judd. Judd was eating eating some leftovers because he did not want to fuck with the catering because he was just so tired of it, or Crafty.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm tired of this. I have been broke so long. And I was like, this is free food. I don't understand your logic.
Yeah.
At all, Judd. Yeah. We live different lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he starts to talk to me about comedy, man. And this dude was like, You know, calling back where he saw me. He was calling back like friends in Chicago that he's seen, that he's got his eye on. Like he remembered all these people by name. And then he was like, you know, you gotta move, man. And I was like, well, I don't like LA. He's like, yeah, but this is huge. Like you gotta move. And at that point, I had never felt like I should until we had that conversation.
And you had nobody in your camp back home telling you because no one's in the business, right? They don't know what it means. Yeah, it's just like, do the movie, come back, and we'll hang out, and you can tell us about it, right?
Exactly. And so I was like, man. And so I sat there after I got done doing JFL and Popstar, and it was getting ready to come out, and I'm booking some stuff. And I'm like, man, when should I move? And I'm like, oh, Judd told you to move. I guess that's the only sign you need.
Yeah.
Is this conversation.
Most successful comedy director.
Obi-Wan Kenobi told Luke Skywalker to fucking go, you know, get a drink at Boba Fett's fucking... Dude, yeah. I don't... All right, I've seen one Star Wars movie. Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
I was about to say, like, where's the characters?
I'm like, wow, I want to hear the end of this thing.
I fell asleep during that part of the movie.
He goes to play Uno with Boba Fett. Boba Fett cheated, as we all know he does.
And he Boba Fett be cheated.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You said that in the most like BET comic view.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, we all know Boba Fett be cheating.
Y'all know what Boba Fett be doing. You know what he be doing.
Oh.
That boy be cheating. A Scooby Doo, a dipstick. that was dipstick. Comedian dipstick.
Nothing I love more than fake BET bits.
Oh, I love those so much.
Dude, Boba Fett be cheating.
Boba Fett be cheating.
Because they're not that far off. They're not that far off.
Dude, the first bit I ever saw, my dad showed me was Sinbad. I don't know if you remember when he did that Sinbad's joke about
amazing.
The milkshake, like, and having to suck the McDonald's straw and having that vein pop out the forehead. Like, dude, I was just like, this is the funniest shit I've ever seen in my entire life.
Sinbad is a beast.
Right?
Yeah. He is an absolute beast.
Have you seen him do a full hour? It's like he does, first of all, almost 2 hours.
Yeah.
First time I got to host the Ontario Improv was for him, and he did 3 different shows on Saturday, all different, because he has material about, because he's got kids, you know, and he was one, so he's got about young kids dating. Then he talks about being married, then being divorced, then, you know, he remarried his wife or just got back together with her. And then his crowd work is just like, at one point he did 45 minutes where he just sat on the stool and he was like, ask me questions, like some love doctor, and just riffed on, like,
jeez.
It was the most, anytime I hear somebody make a Sinbad joke, I'm like,
fuck
shut
you.
The fuck up.
Yeah. You don't know how
don't
funny
know.
That
you don't
man
know what
is.
You're talking about.
You have no idea. The shame is like the fact that people don't know how funny Sinbad is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or Brian Regan.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know what I'm saying? Like, these guys are beasts, man.
Yeah.
Beasts.
Yeah. And it's just because they aren't on every single Netflix show, like Wet Hot American Summer, Jeff Garlin's movie Handsome.
Yeah.
Love.
Oh!
Holy
dude,
shit.
I didn't. Dude,
you've
I
done
tight,
like
man.
Every. You've done every Netflix movie.
Man, I swear. That's, every Netflix movie I have had a small walk in walk by line.
You're so good and handsome, by the way, dude.
Oh, thank you, man. Yeah. It was very fun playing an insecure cop.
Yeah.
and that movie also stars Adam Ray.
Yeah,
so
man,
all our fans need to go watch that movie on Netflix.
Y'all better support your man you already support.
Yeah.
And now you're coming out in this new show, Disjointed with Kathy Bates.
Yeah, Kathy's my boo.
Kathy Bates.
That's crazy, by the way.
Oh, Academy Award winner, right?
Yeah, man, yeah. She's an award winner.
When you start posting Instagram videos of like you kicking it with her and like having like the rapport of like a mother and son, I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
dude?
Bro. That's my white granny right there. I'd be like, yo, what's up, boo? She's like, what's up, boo, motherfucker? Like, that is how she talks to me, and I love every minute of it.
How did this show... Yeah.
Every minute.
Did you hear about it first, and then, or did you just get sent the audition? Like, was it on your radar, and you're like, I got to get on that show?
Well,
like,
Tone Bell, who's on it, plays Carter, the security guard, and I went in for that, like, a year ago, and I didn't get it, and I heard Tone Bell got it. Because Tone's one of those...
Tone's
one of those guys that, like...
He gets everything.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just, like, always booking shit.
Always
yeah.
booking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as soon as you know Tone Bell's going in, you're like, oh, well, fuck it then. Okay.
Dude, Tone Bell, TB stands for tired of booking. You know what I'm saying? Like, tired of booking job. And when someone is just like, oh, God, I got to do another fucking show.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, you do.
Yeah.
You're great.
Because you're fucking awesome and at the shit, man.
You and him are very have similar qualities as far as like being just so...
We get it, Adam. They're black.
not everything is black and white.
Yeah. Well, tell that to a zebra. Yeah. What? Dad jokes. I sit in a hole.
Dude, that's, you should put a bunch of dads up against Angelina Jolie and just see how they respond, you know? Maybe it's different age groups of dudes, you know?
Yeah.
15-year-old boys, because a lot of them probably don't maybe know.
They don't at all.
Who she, they're just like, beautiful mom, right? Yeah, what do they think? Yeah. But also, like, they're just starting to beat off, so maybe they're like, holy shit, I never thought, like, a mom was someone you could beat off to, you know? Yeah. Then you got guys at our age, then you got dads, and you got, like, 80-year-old dudes.
Yeah.
And maybe they all try
fuck
to...
them all up.
They all try to see if they're going to get jammed by Jolie.
Yeah.
Which we might have to change the title.
Yeah.
Because the more I say it, the more I was like, ugh, I don't know. Yeah. That's right.
I don't know if Brad Pitt will like that. He's like, I already jammed her.
I don't know if she'll like it.
Yeah, you know, no, she'll hate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It'd have to be on VH1. So, shout out to VH1.
And you're playing the character Dank.
Dank, yeah. I play Weedhead. And my girlfriend on the show is Betsy Sidaro, who's absolutely hilarious.
One of the funniest people on the planet.
Yeah, man. And we get to just play and improvise and like, we just go crazy. We're two weed heads that have this YouTube show where we just smoke out of different things and just rip about different weed
products. You know someone's going to be like, that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
How much
people
riffing?
Do it, dude. Like, there's an actual guy that's that this character's based off of.
Really?
And he just like makes, he takes these hits of weed out of like different things, sees how long he can hold the smoke and all this crazy shit.
How much improvising did you actually get to do?
We got to do a lot, man. Like, they gave us the lines, and then me and Betsy would do the lines, but then also, like, add kind of whatever we wanted. And they would have to pull us back, you know. But they let us go a lot. Like, it'll be two takes of, like, yeah, and then it'll be one of, like, all right, man, let's do this. Go crazy, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Kathy Bates give you advice as, like, an Academy Award? Or is she, like, this is, I mean, because she's not totally known for her comedies, right?
Yeah, she would.
But I mean, she's also like a fucking icon, so it's like
everybody on set.
She was hilarious in The
Water
Boy.
Yeah,
she was fucking hilarious in that shit, man. We all wait for the Kathy Bates, the compliment. We're all like,
yeah.
And she, when she comes by, like, you're fucking hilarious. That was great. You're like, oh, I can die now. You know,
dude,
it's one of those moments.
Didn't you tell me? I think you were on a plane or something, and she called your mom or something, right?
Yeah, well,
Well,
it was my dad's birthday.
That's right.
And my dad loves Kathy
Bates.
That's
right.
And so I called him up, and she was sitting in the makeup chair, and she was like, hey! I didn't tell her my dad's name yet. I was like, this is my dad. She's like, who? I was like, my dad, Melvin. Melvin! Happy birthday! And my dad's like, hey, Kathy Bates! It was amazing.
Hey, dude, Kathy Bates.
Hey, Kathy Bates. And then they met in person.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Kathy, I forgot. Because, you know what I mean?
Sure.
She meets so many people.
She has shit to do.
Yeah.
Did you...
For a second, and then she remembered.
So you guys smoke fake weed, obviously, right?
All the time.
Yeah. What, can you not... Do they have people come in and give you, like, a tutorial? Like, hey, don't inhale it. This is what... Or is
no, it's all healthy. It just tastes like shit.
Yeah.
It tastes like the worst weed
you
can
buy. You can't
inhale it. Yeah, you can, but it...
You're not supposed to.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know why anybody would.
Yeah.
It's all just stay in the mouth, and you just blow it out. You know what I mean? Don't put that in your body.
Where'd you guys shoot at?
At the Warner Brothers lot.
Yeah,
so there you go. So well, I mean, in town doing.
Yeah. I mean, speak to that of I mean, going from a movie set and now you're like pulling onto a lot every day, right? Where
dude,
you got a spot? Yeah,
it's insane. Oh, I do. I don't have a car though. I still Uber everywhere. I love that. But I would walk the lot. Like I couldn't. Every day was like I can't believe I'm walking a lot to work in the stage to be on a show. Like it was that every single day.
Yeah.
And then we're all so super tight and we're so like a family. That it's kind of unreal. I'm like, this has to be, this is going to end soon, right? This is going to blow up in our faces, right? This
like,
is too good.
Yeah. Like you're just imagining at any point someone's going to run up to you on the lot and be like, who are you? Why are you here? And you're and you don't have an answer for it.
Exactly. I shouldn't be here. I'm so sorry. You know?
But you know, man, this is like what happens to, I mean, look, everything you've done to this moment is like prepped you for this shit. And that's why like you're crushing these opportunities and Will and Grace, which you were talking about before, like now you're going to be on that. Like, dude, it's like this, like
cool.
The more you post about things that are like happening, I'm just like, yeah, fucking duh. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's probably not surprising to you. I mean, like, it is also new that like when you walk in the lot, you're like, all right, this isn't normal, right?
Right.
And maybe, and who knows if it ever gets normal. I'm sure, like, eventually, season 8 of Fresh Prince, I'm sure he was like, yeah, fuck it. Like,
yeah, some of those guys must be like, huh, back again.
Yeah, but right? Yeah. But,
typical job.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
Samuel Jackson can't be shocked by things.
No, right. It's... But he, but the fact that he's still doing it, it's like it's there has to be something about it that is still super fun, right?
Yeah,
like,
and it's a beautiful addiction that services you, that services every one of your needs, and to be so comfortable in that, I would hope to be.
Do you try to do the same thing on the set of Disjointed that you did on Popstar, where you just try to, like, you know, or with more cast members like that on a daily basis? Like, do you try to feel out, like, read the room as far as, like, man, coming in too hot and, like, back up? And there's other personalities that might be like you. Are
I
there?
Am the joker, dog. Okay. Like, I joke all the time.
So you dominate.
I'm loud.
Yeah.
And so at first we were like, they had a table, our cast table, right in front of the main stage part for the set. Dude, we were so loud and that they kept moving the table. So we were like, yo, they're going to fucking put this table outside. Like, they kept pushing us down. And they had to shush us all the time, mostly because of me. To the point where sometimes when things were hectic, I would just go to my room like, let me not stop getting people in trouble. Because I'm just walking around telling bits all day to everybody.
But I think deep down, like, the creators and producers, like, they got to be like, well, fuck, he's keeping the set light, right? Like,
oh, yeah, we all
fucking comedy. You want that.
Yeah, we all loved it.
Yeah.
We all loved it. It was just like, oh, and Kathy's trying to rehearse a serious scene.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And like, I gotta get this bit out.
So the show is, so she runs a pot store, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, what is, like, the overall, like, premise of it?
Yeah, so she was a lawyer, and now she retired that to run this pot store and just give back, because she's always been like an advocate for weed. And her son, Aaron Moten, comes back home and to help her run it. And so you got Carter, who plays security guard, some of the butt tenders, and it's just like a workplace comedy.
And it's a fucking, I mean, in front of first Netflix, like, live audience, right?
Well, they have the ranch in Fuller House. They have some stuff, but this is the first one like this, because it has, we have some, like, animation in there. There's like sketch commercial stuff. Me and Betsy are basically a running sketch couple. So it's dope, man. It has, like, little elements of everything, man. I'm excited to see what people think.
Would you ever would the cast, like, on set, like, after a show, like, how accepting was weed in the whole world?
You know, I don't know what I can and can't say, but yeah. I'm high often. Yeah, yeah. Everybody knows.
Kathy,
it's not a secret.
Does Kathy?
Say that?
Man, you know, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a...
I feel like so many people in Hollywood, more than we think, do. You know,
yeah,
at least in my experience, I find out more and more people where I'm like, oh, I definitely would have not pegged them.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that dabble in the art.
Yeah.
In the art form.
Do you have any...
this reefer.
Yeah. Do you have any...
That's my dad called
bad high stories?
Oh, man. Yeah, dude. I had a story where I was... it's like my first time smoking Orange Crush. For all the weed heads, you know what that is. It's a strain of weed.
Yeah.
And
soda, right?
Yep.
Oh,
I was smoking this orange pop. That was part of the problem.
Could be another name. Yeah.
And so I was in the front seat of my friend's car headed home. Smoked, took too much, hit too much of it. It's like my second time smoking weed. I have an anxiety attack, a panic attack, and I feel like I'm dying. And I'm like, take me to the hospital. My heart's going to stop. It's over for me. And they're like, no, it's not. You're tweaking. I was tweaking out, but I legit made them take me to the hospital. And I'm like, tell my mama I love her. Like, you shut the fuck up, man.
You're doing like your Denzel death scene.
Yeah,
like,
for real. In a car full of gangsters. Dude, and they're all like, no, will you shut the fuck up? You're going to be all right. So it's like a bunch of grown black men walking to this hospital. I'm high as shit. I sit there. The doctor comes in. He's like, hey, so what's going on? I'm like, my chest.
Tell my mother I love her.
I can't feel my heart. Tell my mama I love her. And he was like, have you been smoking anything? I'm like, no,
dude, because you didn't want to fucking.
You know what I mean? I didn't want to.
Like, Narcon you or something. Yeah.
I think the doctor would rip off his coat and be like, psych, I'm a cop, bitch.
Yeah, exactly. But then my friend was like, yes, you smoked too much weed. And then the doctor gave me, like, the IV. All I needed was liquid to drink something.
Get hydrated.
I calmed down and I was like, yeah, I'm stupid.
We called your mom. We told you.
Yeah.
Told her that you love her.
Yeah.
And she says, come home, you're grounded.
Yeah, yeah. She has, you're definitely in fucking.
You know what, though? Subconsciously, you probably almost wanted to, like, if something did happen, if you were that psyched out about it, that your buddies would be like, man, at least, you know, he was cool about it, though, man. He was like, tell my mom I love her. And, like, he was real poised, you know?
Yeah,
like,
he didn't give us nothing.
Yeah.
I didn't give anything away. I didn't give anything. I had shit. I gave like none of my drugs away. They're like, can I have your drug? Like, no.
Wait, if you really might die in there, can we get
yeah, hey, we'll get can skateboard. We get the rest of your weight? Because we can really make $300 off that.
That's well, awesome, dude. God. I mean, it's so exciting to see all your success and to see all the projects that you're about to do. Oh, like, man, there's so much stuff. Like, we just briefly went over this, but yeah, you're gonna be in the new Will and Grace.
Yeah, that's gonna be crazy.
Yeah,
yeah. I play this guy Alvin who owns this gym, this dirty gym in the Bronx, and Sean Hayes' character comes to teach a theater class there. And that's all I can say right now.
But, yeah. But you're telling us the energy fun. In the room, like being around the cast, man, coming back is like,
dude, it's incredible. They love each other so much. It's a well-oiled machine. Like the first drafts of some of these jokes are like just so incredible and tight. And then it just gets tighter, like the longer the week goes. Mm-hmm. And everybody's just happy to be back, man.
Anybody give you advice already? I mean, just like single multicam advice.
After I did the table read and then did the first rehearsal. At one point, every cast member came up and just hugged me like, I'm so glad you're here. You're so funny. I'm like, holy shit.
Dude, that's fucking bonkers, awesome. Dude.
Crazy, son. I was like, you know, yeah, it was such a great vibe, man. Like, and I love Megan Malloy. She's like a fucking beast. They're all great.
People don't give like, her enough credit comedically.
Beast, bro.
And I'm not even going to do like for a woman. She's a fucking beast. Funny.
Monster.
Yeah, she's just funny.
I mean, dog, she killed. Like, she just kills effortlessly.
Kills everything.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy. Sean is amazing too. Like,
so yeah. Oh, dude.
I'm just gonna go down the list.
they're the best. I mean, dude, it's crazy to think that you're like working with people that are the top of the comedy TV game. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean? Like and juggernauts.
Yeah, you know, like that's like if Adam and I got cast on Saved by the Bell. Like I feel like we'd have
the fuck out.
Yeah, we have like this. Like they're bringing back Saved by the Bell.
I'd have a lot of questions.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd have a lot of questions for Dustin Diamond. I would. You know what I mean? I would have to ask somebody to point out Lark Voorhees for me because she's gone through some facial transformation.
She's gone through some things.
It's all right though. But no judgment, dude.
I don't judge a thing.
So we've all.
It's your face. Your face, your choice.
Thank you. Your face, your choice. You know what, though? Dude, that's going to be
your face, your choice this fall on NBC, coming after Jamming with Jolie.
Wait, that's the show where Chris.
Jammed by Jolie.
Where Chris plays one of those. What's botched? The plastic surgeon face.
Yeah.
She's like, yo, your face, your choice. Like,
yeah, I have absolutely no skills in surgery. They're like, hey, I feel like I need a smaller nose. And I'm like, well, it's your face.
Your choice. It's already pretty fucking small. Or I could put a dick on the side of your head. You're like, how is that even an option? I didn't ask for that.
I don't know. Your face, your choice. I didn't choose a dick. Well, I did. So there you go.
It's your choice. You chose it.
We should also mention your Comedy Central special, right?
Yeah, my Comedy Central special. It'll be the premiere episode at 9:15 on Comedy Central. And I'm recording the album this weekend.
Yeah, we'll tell everybody to go.
August 25th, 26th at Comedy on State in Madison, Wisconsin. So if you're out there, man, come on by. Have a drink with me.
ChrisRed.com?
Where the fuck is ChrisRed.com? Very real.
Yeah.
Very offensive, I think. But that is my website right now. And all my dates are there. You can get tickets there.
And just join it is August.
August 25th as well. So come party with me, then go home and fucking binge that shit.
Dude, you know what? August is a month of red. Just the way that like July was Big Willie weekend.
Yo, Will Smith is a fucking famous man.
Dude, he is.
We did Comic-Con with Conan.
Yeah, it was dope.
Me and Moses Storm. Yeah. And really know how famous Will Smith is until you stand next. We were giving out tickets to the show that people waited a day outside to get, right? And everybody's excited because I'm giving them questions and giving away tickets. And like, oh, we're going to talk to you. Will Smith pulls up and I'm like, get the fuck out the way, kid. Like, he gets out and no one loves being Will Smith more than Will Smith. He's like, I'm Will Smith! You know what I mean? And everybody's just like, you're Will Smith! Like, ah! And he's like having a good time being him. They're having a good time loving him. It was crazy. I was like, I'm going to get out the way forever. His publicist came up like, what the fuck are you doing?
That's Will Smith.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm working for Cutter. It's my job. Like, ooh, why? You know, like, what is happening? Why are you attacking me, lady?
So great to see everything blowing up for you, my friend.
Yeah, dude, well, you're killing it, man. Well, no surprise. You, man. I knew from lunch. I said it. I'm gonna take credit for it.
You did. You put the little omen on me. It's a positive omen, and you're like, you will blow up.
Well, dude, and let that be like somewhat of a lesson to people, man. Like, there's fucking enough pie for everybody.
There really is,
fucking.
Man.
There's enough pie meet, for Will Smith, Angelina Jolie, Kathy Bates, and Chris Rock.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? When you meet somebody funny that you don't know and you like you bond, and you're just like, I mean, dudes, again, need minimal information. And we were just like, oh, what's up? What's up? And then we fucking comedy club. And it's like, dude, just like support and be pumped for everybody.
But
like,
that's the thing I've always loved about Adam. And is the fact is that the day I met this man, he didn't really know shit about me. And he invited me to come out. And like, there's not a ton of that in L.A.
Yeah.
And where I'm from, Chicago, we are so like that, that it was like, oh, man. So there are people here like that that aren't from my city.
Hell yeah.
That
yeah.
I can vibe with. And I've always appreciated that. Fuck and you're dude. Fucking actually funny. Oh, like great. There are some nice people like aren't funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you see me that night and I'm bummed? Chris would be like, yo, thanks for the help, man. I'm going to go to the improv.
Yeah. Oh, fuck that guy. You know what I mean? So it's always cool to meet like talented guys like y'all and like who you can sit here and have a fucking conversation and a beer with.
Fuck
and
yeah,
it's
dude.
Not like all ego and
well,
bullshit.
Chris, you're a good dude, and we're gonna let you sign the wall as the fourth black man to be in this apartment.
Yo, they got a list.
Good night, everybody.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamy Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.